Well, if the Lord is going to answer our prayer to show us the truth within His Word, that means we have to open His Word. And so let's do that. Let's open our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs in the very first chapter. Proverbs chapter 1 this morning is what we'll be looking at, 1, 2, and 3 actually. And so I encourage you to turn to Proverbs 1. This week, as I was talking with a friend of mine over lunch, he knew that we were ending the book of Malachi. And he said, so where are you going from here? And I said, well, we're going to the book of Proverbs. And he knows that I like to go through a book and verse by verse. And he just sort of sat there and grinned. And he said, so 10 years from now, what will you be doing? Because Proverbs is absolutely packed. And I shared with him, well, we may not be doing it the same way that we do other books, but we'll be addressing some key themes. But today, let's hear from the Word of God as He has divinely given us this Word. Let us hear from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 to begin with this morning. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. Father, as we come to your holy word, as we hear it, as we read it, Father, as we meditate upon it now, we pray that your word would come alive to us. We know already, because that is the testimony of Scripture, that it is a living instrument in our hearts. And so we pray that, Father, anything that you want to say to us, say it through your Holy Spirit and through your word. If indeed you must instruct us, instruct us. If we are lacking wisdom, give it to us. If we are walking in error, correct us, convict us, that we may be led to repentance. Father, if we are needing comfort and counsel, give it. Let us not be fools, Lord, who hear your words of wisdom, but do not follow them. Father, I pray that you would enlarge our hearts and whet our minds to want to read your word more and more and more, and specifically as we come to the book of Proverbs. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And so, over the course of the next several weeks, what we'll do is we'll take some of the big pictures of Proverbs. We will look at God in the book of Proverbs. What does the book of Proverbs say about God? When we have the Lord's Supper in the month of August, we will look at Christ in the book of Proverbs. We'll take a look at the use of the tongue, of relationships in the book of Proverbs. We will look at the life of the fool in the book of Proverbs. And anything else that the Lord would desire to show us, may He do so. But as we begin this morning, perhaps a question might would arise in somebody's mind, and that question might be, of all the books in the Bible to go over on Sunday mornings, why the book of Proverbs? Honestly, Pastor Ken, when I read it, sometimes I get confused, because some of the Proverbs, are they not, are very clear. And others are a bit like riddles, as Solomon says here in the sixth verse. And so it leaves us scratching our heads. And so why the book of Proverbs? Well, let me answer that very quickly. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And so every book of the Bible is good for us to look at and to read and devour and ask the Lord to change our hearts. And so we come to the book of Proverbs, which is a book about life. And it is a book that is needed for us in the multiple forks of the road that we come to. We may come to a fork in the road and it's a big decision. And it's one of those forks that we don't come to, but maybe once a year, or once every other year, or once or twice in a year. But there are many other forks of the road that we come to in the course of a day where we have to ask the question, what should I do here? I have a choice. What should I do here? And the book of Proverbs addresses much of life. And if we would become good students of the book of Proverbs, when we come to that fork, it may very well be that God will use His Word and already something that we have studied and hid in our hearts, and we'll think of a proverb and a proverb of God and move into the right direction. When we're faced with the decision, although we never face it so starkly, but will I act wisely or will I act foolishly? Perhaps one of the Proverbs will leap off the page. Shall I walk with the righteous or shall I walk with the wicked? Maybe one of the Proverbs will come up. Or when the wicked come to me and make propositions to me, what should I say and what should I do? Fork in the road. Proverbs addresses that. In my career, and I'm asked to do something that is perhaps just bending the rules just slightly, perhaps a proverb will come and speak to us. How to be a wife. Certainly, Proverbs 31 speaks to that in its immensity. How to be a parent. How to be a child who honors their parents. Perhaps one of the Proverbs will come to light. And last week we ended the service, and let me reiterate it now by saying that if you're not in the habit now and you're not in a Bible reading pattern, some of you are very good about reading through the Bible. Some of you are reading maybe through the Gospels. Some are just aren't in any habit of reading it. So let me encourage you to take up what we termed last week that the Proverbs plan. And just take that day of the month. Today is the 22nd of July. Well, you would read today the 22nd chapter. And some of you say, well, after a month, I'm done. And I would challenge you that you could read the book of Proverbs every day of your life and something new is going to come fresh to you. You'll read chapter 22 of Proverbs for the 40th time, and there's still something new that grabs you that you'll say to yourself, I didn't see that before. Or because of what you're going through in life, all of a sudden jumps out at you. And that's the word I need for today. And so let me encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs as we're going through these sermons in the next couple of months. We need wisdom outside of ourselves. The Word of God says that there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. Which is a pretty horrifying thought. I mean, you might think highly of yourself and that you're just a smart person, but the Bible says don't make decisions just based on you. We need the Lord's wisdom to know how to live rightly. Abraham Lincoln, the president, said this at one point in his life: I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. And if you are trying to live your life under the light of the holiness of God, there are going to be many days when you say to yourself, I don't know what to do. I'm just confused. I want to honor the Lord, and yet I'm hearing these voices around me say, do this or be that. What should I do? And it's at those moments that we should bend our knees and go to the Lord. And yet, thankfully, the Lord has given us this treasury of His wisdom. And so this morning, as we're just beginning in the book of Proverbs, I want to go over just some introductory material for you. And so let's look at that question. What do we know about the book of Proverbs? And if you have your worship guide, there's a purple sheet in there and an outline. You can follow along with us. And what do we know about the book of Proverbs? Well, first of all, what is a proverb? What is a proverb? And basically, in its simplest explanation, a proverb is a statement that is true, short, and succinct. A statement that is true about life, short, and memorable. One of the things that we have to remember about the culture in which Solomon was writing the book of Proverbs and others, that they didn't have as the access to you to written material as you and I do. And so things that were passed down orally. And so that proverbs and teachings needed to be able to catch the ear and to be able to be easily remembered. And so when Solomon and the others are writing down for us these proverbs, they are probably that which they were saying all along, but they were captured for us in the pages of Scripture by the Holy Spirit. And the word proverb itself, what does that mean in the Hebrew? For we know that the book of Proverbs is written not in English, but rather in the language of the Hebrews. And that word means to hold in comparison. And so often as you're going through the book of Proverbs, you'll read the words like is like, or compared to. Or in the same verse, you'll read the wise and the fool. Did we not hear that already in verse 7? The fear of the knowledge, or fear of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. Contrasted or in comparison, the fool despises wisdom and instruction. So a proverb is a short, general statement about life and that is memorable. And but we have proverbs in our own lives, right? Penny earned, or a penny saved is a penny earned, right? That's a proverb in our own life. And I'm thinking, I guess, of Benjamin Franklin and poor Richard's Almanac filled with those. Well, what's the difference between the proverbs of Ben Franklin and the proverbs of this book here? And then even to think that before Solomon wrote, there was a compilation of proverbs written by some of the Egyptian kings. What's the difference between those proverbs and the proverbs of Benjamin Franklin and these? And then if you compare some of them, there's some similarities. Well, does that mean that those are just as important to us as these? No. God, who is truth and shares His truth with all, of course there are going to be some pagan cultures who stumble upon truth. But the difference between this book of Proverbs and the book by poor Richard or Benjamin Franklin and the book by that king in Egypt is this is the one given to us by God. And whereas poor Richard's sayings might not always be true, might not always cover situations, we can count on these proverbs always being true for us. To have weight in these. And so when we read the book of Proverbs, to read them with a sense of, God, you have something true to say in my life as I read this chapter today. Well, who wrote the book of Proverbs? And you already have one clue. Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon. That's exactly right. But you have another clue, if you've been listening this morning, and that is, was he the only one to write the book of Proverbs? No. We know at least three authors who were involved in the compiling by the Holy Spirit of the book of Proverbs. We are told in Proverbs 30 that, and you can pay your money and pronounce it any way you want, but Agur, A-G-U-R, Agur, son of Jekel, wrote Proverbs 30. And then we're told that King Lemuel was behind the words, the human instrument, behind the words of Proverbs 31, that great chapter on the issue of a godly wife. And so these three, as far as we know, are the human authors of the inspired text of the book of Proverbs. Well, can you guess what the main theme of the book of Proverbs is? Each book generally has its main theme. And can you take just a guess at what the main theme of the book of Proverbs might be? Wisdom. In fact, the words wise and wisdom are used 125 times in this one book. The book of Proverbs has something to say about being wise. And so those of us who are adults, I want to say this lightly, but also seriously, save yourself some money. Instead of going to a counselor, go to the counselor who has wisdom for us. Those of you who are children and you are wanting to be wise, well, you'll gain some information, much information from your textbooks, and you're going to hear your pastor say, be good students at school. But also make sure if you want to be wise in the sight of God and not just your earthly teachers, study His wisdom, study His book. And so the book of Proverbs was written so that we might be given wisdom. Well, what's the difference The next question there that's for you is, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? And maybe you're formulating a thought to yourselves, but basically the idea of wisdom and knowledge is wisdom is the putting of knowledge to practice. It's taking facts and certain understandings and applying it to life. I might know diagrams about how to change the oil on my truck. But wisdom is that I actually get underneath there with a wrench and actually know how to do it. It is the applying of that knowledge to my life and using that knowledge. And so it is not proper to read the book of Proverbs just to begin to memorize these truths and just compile facts into your head, into your heart. But when you read it, to be able to say, Lord, what you show me today, I will live. That is the true essence of wisdom. To take what God has revealed to be true and truth and apply it to our lives. Now, as we come to the book as a whole, you know, you don't read the book of Proverbs in the same way that you would say read the Gospel of John, which, by the way, Lord willing, when we're done with this series in Proverbs, that's where we're going next, is the Gospel of John, for those of you who want to begin to read ahead. But we don't read it the same way. It's not put down in story fashion. In fact, when you try to read just one chapter of Proverbs, you'll be all over the place. Whereas, say, the Gospel of John, to use that as an illustration, is more like a rifle shot, one direction all the way through. Even within the same chapter, it's a shotgun approach with the book of Proverbs. It's all over the place. And I did find this past week, however, a topical index for the book of Proverbs. I'm going to try to see about reproducing that so that you can have it, because it's sort of difficult sometimes to think, well, I need to know what to do in this situation. Where do I go in the book of Proverbs? So I'm going to try to provide that for you in the weeks to come. But generally, chapters 1 through 9, there are 31 chapters. Chapters 1 through 9, it looks at wisdom and it looks at folly, sort of independently. There's sections that look at wisdom, and then there's sections that look at folly or foolishness. And in the middle of the book, chapters 10 through 15, it contrasts life of wisdom and life of folly. So that's where you're going to find a wise man will, a foolish man will. Going to be holding those side by side and interacting with each other. And then the last half of the book, chapters 16 through 31, are just different counsels about the different areas of life. Just all over the place. But all dealing so that we may know how to live rightly before God. Well, let's begin then with the next question, as we've dealt with some introductory material. How can I gain wisdom? If the book of Proverbs is about wisdom, and it will say over and over again, do all that you can to gain wisdom. Go out and purchase it, he would say, in these chapters. How can I gain wisdom? And there is a bit of a process here. And so let's begin with, first, to be able to gain wisdom, one must fear God. One must fear the Lord. Solomon says this for himself and for his children here in verse 7. We heard it already in Psalm 111 when Robbie was reading it earlier. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, why would the fear of the Lord be the beginning of knowledge? Wouldn't the beginning of knowledge be the first page of a book? No, because truth resides in a person, not necessarily just on a page. Now, God's truth is revealed to us on a written page, but it begins with a person, the person of God. And when I realize that there is a God who is holy, who is all-knowing, who is perfect in all His purposes, and who is perfect in all His knowledge, in all His ways, in all His wisdoms, I begin to see myself not as this big figure in my own life, but I get to see myself as minuscule. And there is a big God. And that, well, if there is a God who is truth and is knowledge and is wisdom and is able to provide that wisdom to me, then I humble myself and put aside my own wisdom, and I begin to abide by the wisdom of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because I don't live for me anymore, but I live in light of who God is. And if I understand that there is a holy God who does not wink at sin, but indeed judges sin, then I want to know what that God has to say about what is right and what is wrong. And so I don't go to myself, I don't go to my peers, I go to the one who determines what is right and what is wrong, and I seek His counsel. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom. And so we begin with our knees on the ground, declaring to God, I don't know it all. And for some of us, that's a hard thing to admit. Lord, I don't know it all. Lord, I don't know how to parent perfectly. Lord, I don't know how to walk with my parents in a pleasing way all the days of my life. Lord, I don't know how I'm supposed to interact with this person who is darkness, and yet I'm to influence them. How do I do that? Lord, I don't know it all, and You've got to show me. The fear of the Lord. And then the Bible would tell us to ask for wisdom. To ask for wisdom. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 and 5. For if you cry for discernment. Now, is that the kind of, if you boohoo and weep for discernment? That may be a portion of your crying out, a literal crying for God, I need Your wisdom. But here it means that verbally lifting up. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. And so we are to ask the Lord for wisdom. That is a proper prayer request. James 1, James chapter 1, verse 5. Is any of you in need of wisdom, he would say? Then ask it of the Lord, and He will give it freely. James 1:5 says, and without insult. God will never respond to you in your request for information, for wisdom particularly. He will never respond to you, oh, you idiot. Do you not know this? How simple. God will not insult you when you ask Him for wisdom, but rather He will give it freely and without insult. This is the way, indeed, that Solomon obtained wisdom. Do you remember the story? Solomon, a young man, and yet he's getting ready. He sees the kingdom of Israel before him, and God comes to him. God comes to him in this moment when he's thinking about his future as the leader of Israel. And God comes to him and says, Solomon, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And Solomon, what does he do? He says, give me wisdom and discernment. And of course, God was pleased with that. How do we know? Because God said, this is a good thing. You could have asked for money. What would we have done if we had been asked of God, name any one thing and I will give it to you? God said, you could have asked for money. You could have asked for power. You could have asked for all kinds of things. But because you didn't, but you chose that which is best, that you chose wisdom, the rest will fall. And indeed, as you read through the book of Proverbs, it affects all those areas that we could have asked for. So ask God for His wisdom. We fear the Lord. He is the one who has all true wisdom. We ask Him for that wisdom, and He is willing to give it. And then we are to listen to that wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to be bouncing around the first three chapters, so just keep your fingers there. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. What does he say? This is the father to his children. Here particularly, perhaps his oldest son, but as you read through the book of Proverbs, there's this call to his children to hear. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Well, if that is the way that I am supposed to feel in regards to my earthly parents teaching me, then I also need to be in a ready position to hear what my Heavenly Father has to say to me. And then go over to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2. And there in 1:8, he says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And in chapter 2, verse 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. I am thoroughly convicted by chapter 2, verse 2. Because he says here, the obtaining of wisdom is not going to happen by accident. You're not just going to stumble over it. But listen to verse 2. You have to make your ear attentive. I need to want to hear the Word of God in my life. I need to hear the wisdom of God in my life, and I am to incline my heart to understanding. Have you ever been in a situation where you're, well, okay, you're in a conversation with somebody in a restaurant. I'm changing my illustration. You're in a conversation with somebody in a restaurant, and it's dark, and it's quiet, hushed tones, and maybe there's a violinist in the background, or a piano player, or maybe there's just some loud couples. You're trying to be quiet, but they're loud next to you, and you're the one that you're out with says something to you, and you didn't quite hear that, and so what do? Do you not lean in a little bit because you know what they have to say is important, and you want to gain it? This is the same idea here. Incline, lean your heart to hear the things of God, which means what? If I'm going to lean my heart towards God, then maybe I need to lean my heart away from daytime therapists on the TV. Maybe I need to lean my heart away from online chat therapists. Maybe I even need to lean my heart away from things that I hear on the radio. Maybe I need to lean my heart away from magazines in the dentist office and lean my heart and my hearing to what God has to say. So listen. He says, well, how, Pastor Ken, how do you listen to the wisdom of God? Well, you can listen to the wisdom of God by reading your Bible. That's how He speaks to us. There has not come any new way for us to hear the Word of God except the Word of God being read and applied to us by His Holy Spirit. That is how we hear God. Now, you may physically hear if you perhaps you have Bible on tape or Bible on CD and you're traveling down the highway and you need to plug in perhaps one of the CDs on the book of Proverbs or Psalms or the Gospels or any of the Bible. But we hear, if we are to listen, we hear then from the Bible. Please never consider yourself hearing the voice of God by my ramblings. You will hear the voice of God by what the Bible says, and if my words match up with what the Bible says. So do not, when you go to argue with somebody, not argue or discuss things with somebody, don't say, well, my pastor says. Your pastor could be wrong. I know that. I hope you do too. Hopefully I'm not very wrong very often. Whenever you're talking with somebody, say, the Bible says. God says in His Word. Hopefully the things that I say are just mere magnifications or illuminations of what God says, and not any sort of weak illuminations of my own mind. So we fear the Lord. We ask the Lord, Lord, I am in need of Your wisdom. We listen to the Lord. We saw one just a moment ago, D, on your list there would be, look. And we see this in verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. To look for wisdom. Now, this afternoon we have some time. And my wife and I made an absolutely wonderful discovery in Monk's Corner. In our backyard, there is a silver ore deposit in our backyard. And we would like for you all to come and help us look for it, and we'll divide it in half with the one who finds it. Now, how do you think you'll come over to the afternoon? Let's say I'm going to let in the first 20 people who come, and it begins at 2. How many of you want to show up at 2:10? Probably very few. In fact, some of you are going to be itching and dressed, ready to go, and, well, how early is too early? And if I get there maybe first, will he let me come on in and start? No, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be ready to begin to mine my backyard, much maybe to the neighbor's chagrin. You'll bring tools with you, perhaps some shovels or axes or piece of earth moving equipment. You'll bring tools with you for that moment. And do you think when I say it's 2 o'clock, begin, that you'll begin thinking about the baseball game? No. You're going to mine for silver in my backyard. You're going to come early. You're going to be excited. You're going to make some tools. And when I say go, you're going to work and the sweat's going to be coming off your brow. Now, if this book contains God's wisdom, and He says, seek her as for silver and as for hidden treasures. Is that the way that we approach the Bible? Or do we show up early and excited that God's got a treasure for me to find today? Do we bring some other tools with us? Maybe a concordance and a notebook, some questions with us. Maybe a Bible commentary that we can have some confidence in. Do we come with some tools with us? Do we come willing to sweat a little bit, to mine the gems of God's wisdom? Or do we sort of come to our Bible reading and we lay it down and we say, hit me, God. The book of Proverbs says it will take some work. But the good news is that those who will seek wisdom as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Let us come to the book of Proverbs looking diligently, fervently, passionately, laboriously, as we come to the Word of God to see what He would have to say to us. We must be done with lazy Bible study and to do the work of plowing into God's Word and mining. We have to know where to go for wisdom, don't we? Mindful of Howard Carter. I was thinking of him this week. Now, you may not remember that name, Howard Carter. You may, but he was the explorer, the archaeologist who found the pyramid for King Tutankhamun. Now, why didn't Howard Carter start for the pyramid of King Tutankhamun in Missouri? It was found in Egypt, by the way. Why didn't he start in Missouri? Anybody? Wrong place. How many of you have seen pyramids in Missouri? If you've been to Missouri, they're not there. You go to find pyramids in the tombs of the pharaohs. You go to where the pharaohs were. You go to Egypt and begin your dig. For us, when we go to dig and mine for the wisdom of God, we have to go no farther than the place where it is located for us in the scriptures that He has provided. So we fear the Lord, we ask, we listen, we look diligently, and then we remember. We remember what God has said to us. We'll go over to chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Oh, the Solomon and God through Solomon not know our hearts. He says in Proverbs 3, "My son, do not forget my teaching." I wonder if Solomon's son had a habit of forgetting what his father said to him. Did Solomon's son have a habit of hearing and letting it pass through the other ear? That Solomon, in the midst of this great discourse and the writing down of these things, would have to insert in there, "My son, don't forget my teaching." But Solomon might as well be telling us, huh? How many times do we have to be reminded of the things of God in our own hearts? "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." So Solomon is saying, "My son, constantly keep before you these words that I am giving to you." And notice that this is a heart of concern. This book is put together by the hearts of a father for his children to live godly ways. My son, do not forget. Do not let them leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Always have them before you. Remember them. It might be good for us as we're going, those of you who are going to take the challenge of reading through the book of Proverbs a chapter at a time, maybe to pick one of the verses in that chapter for the day and just choose that one verse and just memorize it and meditate on it and chew on it and apply it all through the day. Remember that proverb. Maybe the next time you come to that chapter, you memorize a different one. But for that one, you're just going to remember it and dwell upon it so that you hide it in your heart. And the day that you may really need it most, it's there. The treasury of God's wisdom in your own heart being mined out at will as the Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance for the time that you need it most. Remember it. Maybe you need to remember it by putting a card. Maybe this week you come across a proverb that, I wish I had known this for the past month. I really needed to know that proverb. Well, you needed it the past month. You might need it the month to come. So get a little 5x7 card and write it out and put it on the bathroom mirror so that when you get up in the morning and you're brushing your teeth, there it is. Or you're shaving, there it is. Or you're doing whatever in the mirror, there it is. Or maybe you take that 5x7 card and you tape it on your dashboard there of your car. Not that I want to encourage you to read while you're driving. But when you get in, there it is. Maybe at a stoplight, there it is. To find some ways. Some of you, I've been in your homes, and what you have done is you put Scripture upon your walls. That's a good way of remembering the words of God. But to find ways to keep the Word of God ever before you, to remember them. And then lastly, how do we gain wisdom? We fear the Lord. We ask the Lord. Listen, look, remember. But up to this point, it's just facts. To this point, it's just knowledge. So we need F, which is to keep God's commandments. Now, this word keep does not simply mean to hold and to sort of guard, although that is in that word. But what Solomon is saying is, here are these words, hear them, listen to them, look for them, fear the Lord and obey them. Put them to practice. To put them into practice consistently. You want to be a wise man, a wise woman in the eyes of God, fear the Lord, ask the Lord for wisdom, listen to Him. Look for His wisdom and His Word. Remember what He has to say. And then when the time comes to use it, obey. Keep them. How insulting and disrespectful to God if we cry out to Him in that midnight hour, oh God, I need an answer for this problem. And then He gives it to us and then we say, well, I don't like that one. That's not very wise. In fact, Solomon said, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when you ask for the wisdom of God, and you listen and you look within His pages, and you're trying to remember it, when the time comes to apply it, don't be a fool. Obey what God has shown you. That is how we can gain wisdom. But some of you might be thinking, well, why is gaining wisdom important? So let's look at that question very quickly this morning, and then we'll be through. Why is gaining wisdom important? To begin with, because wisdom will help us avoid walking with the wicked. Wisdom will help us avoid walking with the wicked. When you consistently read through the book of Proverbs, one of the things that you're going to learn is it will tell you what the wicked says to you to get you to entice you to do wrong. And so when your friends come to you, maybe they don't have the sign on them, the wicked, but they say something to you that entices you towards wrong, you're going to go, you know what? I've heard that somewhere before. You know what? That's in the book of Proverbs. Leading me down a path of destruction. Let's look at Proverbs 2, chapter 2, verses 12 through 19. Proverbs 2, chapter 12. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 12 through 19. Let's go up. Remember the first part of chapter 2. Look, listen, you will find wisdom. Verse 11, discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. And if you read the book of Proverbs, women are capable of speaking perverse things too. From the man who speaks perverse things, verse 13, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are... Do you wonder why we call criminals crooks? It comes from this idea of them walking down a crooked path. Whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. Every man, every woman, every child in this place should read the book of Proverbs so that we will be alerted to the ways of the wicked and so that we will recognize them and not answer the call of the wicked to leave the God of our youth. That we would not ourselves delight in doing evil. That we ourselves would begin to walk in the ways of darkness. Proverbs 1 verses 8 through 33 continue on and talks about that the Proverbs were meant to save us from wicked men because not all men are nice and godly. And some might even appear to be nice on the outside, but the words they use reveal a dark heart. The verses in the latter part of chapter 1 go on to say that they are also meant to save us from the adulteress who would have us to go away from wisdom and be led to destruction. And so the wisdom of God will help us avoid walking in or walking with the wicked. And so this morning, maybe you are struggling with some of those friendships that you have. Maybe struggling with some of the relationships that you have at work, or maybe even within your own family. And you know that person does not stand for light and for Christ. And you... Lord, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to respond? The book of Proverbs will help. God's wisdom will give you light in that area. Wisdom, God's wisdom will help us avoid walking with the wicked, but God's wisdom will also help us to walk with the righteous. It is so good of God not to just tell us the way not to go and leave us in this neutral place and then say to us, now you can figure it out for yourself. God in His infinite wisdom not only tells us not how to walk and leave us in a neutral place, but rather He shows us the way to walk. Look here at the end of chapter 2 again, verses 20 through 22. He's writing these things, listen to them, search for them, mind for them. Why? In verse 20, so you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. God cares that you walk uprightly in His sight. And we all know, I pray that we know, that none of us will earn God's favor by walking uprightly. Without Christ, none of us can walk uprightly. That is, in ways that pleases God. But with Christ, He who is the fulfillment of the law, as we were looking in the book of Malachi, He who is the fulfillment of the law and is the righteousness of God makes us to become the righteousness of God as we place our sins upon Him. Him becoming sin, we becoming the righteousness of God. And in Christ, we want to know, okay, Lord, You have called me to righteousness. How do I step? How do I move? How do I think? How do I act? How do I make decisions in righteousness? And the book of Proverbs will give that to us. So why is gaining wisdom important? Wisdom will help us to avoid walking with the wicked. Wisdom will help us walk with the righteous. And then thirdly, God's wisdom makes no, or God's word makes no bones about it and no apologies. God's wisdom brings blessings. God's wisdom brings blessings. I would encourage you, as you go through the book of Proverbs, just begin to write down the blessings that are promised to you as you begin to follow the wisdom of God. Now, for this morning, I've taken the liberty of quickly, so I'm not saying that this is exhaustive and this is it, but listen to just in the first three chapters, the blessings of God that are promised to those who will live lives of wisdom. In verse 4 of chapter 1, those who have wisdom become an influence in the lives of others. When you begin to have the wisdom of God, you will operate in a sphere of influence over others' lives. When others see you as having the wisdom of God, they will come to you, whether they are believers or not. They'll know there's a person I can get good decisions from or good advice from. So you will have the opportunity to be of influence in the lives of others. One of the blessings that God gives to us if we follow wisdom is that we avoid being a fool. That was one of the things I hated when I was a kid, was to hear my parents say, "You're acting foolishly. You're acting like a fool." I certainly don't want to hear that from my Heavenly Father. "My son, you're acting like a fool." So I want to know how to avoid that. And that's one of the blessings of God. Chapter 1, verse 33 says that we will live securely and at ease from the dread of evil if we walk with wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 5 says that we will know God better. That's the ultimate purpose for God giving us His wisdom, so that we may know Him better. That's the ultimate purpose of God revealing His wisdom. Chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, that we will have the protection of God. Chapter 3, 2, that we will have the length of days, a peaceful life. Chapter 3, verse 4, that we will have favor with God and with man. And chapter 3, verse 6, that God will make His path straight. "Pastor Ken, you're writing too fast." Good. "You're speaking too fast. I can't keep up." Good. "I want you to go home and do this on your own for yourself, too." I'm intentionally making it difficult for you to write down all the answers. I want you to go home and mind these for yourself. Chapter 3, verse 8, He says that if we have wisdom, we will have refreshment to our bones. We will have insight into prosperity and to use that prosperity as generosity for others. That's a key in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is not a how to get rich and be selfish book. It is what to do with the riches that you can obtain through wisdom in the lives of those who need help. Chapter 3, verse 17, if I live by wisdom, I will have increased pleasure. If I live by wisdom, there will be life to the soul, says the 22nd verse of chapter 3. And 24th verse, I will have a lack of fear and sweet sleep. Have you ever been in the place where, maybe I'm the only one, but you didn't really know what to do, and there's this decision that's hanging over you and looming, and you're fearful about what should I do if I do this, and if this happens, what shall I do? And the book of Proverbs, when we learn the wisdom that God has given to us, really throughout the whole of the Bible, but specifically the book of Proverbs, when we learn His wisdom and we apply it and we live in that wisdom, I can put my head on the pillow and sleep like a baby for no fear, because I am living in the ways of God. And if God is with me, then whom shall I fear? Chapter 3, verse 32 says that I will have increased intimacy with God. Increased intimacy with God if I walk wisely. Verse 33 says I will have a blessed home life. Verse 34 says that I will even have comfort in affliction. Notice it says that the wise never become afflicted. We can have comfort in affliction. And then the last verse, I believe, of chapter 3 says that one of the blessings of God's wisdom is an inheritance of honor. An inheritance of honor. And so this morning, the question comes, Well, Pastor Ken, as a result of your sermon today, what is it that you want from us? I think the better question is, as a result of hearing God's Word, what does God want from us? And I think what God wants for us is to be wise, to hear Him, to see His benevolent gifting of His treasury of wisdom to us, and then not to ignore it, but to dive in, to make use of His wisdom, that we may know how to avoid walking with the wicked, how we may stand firm in the walking of the righteous, to experience the blessings of God first and foremost, that we may have a better understanding of who God is. And so, one of my hopes for myself and for each of us would be, and I think this would be true, I know it would be of God, is that we leave from this place and go mining this week. Let's pray. Father, we have not said it yet, perhaps out loud, but we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You do not leave us to just make things up on our own and then trial and error to see if they are correct, or to wait all our days and become answerable to You and then find out that what we thought was right was really wrong. We thank You that You have given to us Your holy word and this book, the book of Proverbs. And I pray, Father, that You would be with us as we read through this book in the coming days and weeks. Maybe the next 2 months, Father, as we are in the book of Proverbs. Make us to thirst, Father, for Your word. Make us to come to the time when we're in our moment with You and we want to read Your word, that we're anxiously, I wonder what God has to say to me today. Lord, put that in us. Some of us, Lord, for whatever reason, perhaps reasons of our own or our own doing, or perhaps situations in our life, we just feel dry. We're in a desert time, Lord. But oh, may Your word come alive in us, and may we expect a blessing and instruction when we come to Your word. An anticipation that You have something to say to us when we read it. But, oh Lord, help us, for Your wisdom does not always go down sweet to us. When we see Your wisdom, it may be counter to our current actions, our current motives, our current plans. And that's sometimes difficult to rip away from us, Lord. But, oh, rip away from us foolish ways. Help us to begin to see that it is foolish to oppose You, foolish to try to do things not according to Your word. Father, some of us, we were those who cried out and said, I need Your wisdom. And You were so tender and merciful, and You gave that answer to us. And we have been rebelling. We have been prideful. We have sought other counselors and have not yielded to You, the counselor, full of truth and wisdom. So I pray, Father, that even now, if there is one where an incident is coming to their mind, where that was them, may they confess to You their sinfulness. May they plead the blood of Christ. May they know the sweetness of reconciliation. Father, we would pray that what we have heard today, You would keep in our hearts, and that we would remember them and apply them. Teach us, but more than teaching our heads, transform our lives with Your holy word. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who is the wisdom of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.